Blog Talk Radio.
Get out of you, but down in Alabama, Mississippi, and Georgia.
hear voices telling us to slow up. We can hear voices telling us to cool off. Our only answer in calm, ancient time must be that we have cooled off too long, and if we keep cooling off, we'll end up in a deep freeze. We must go on and say, no, what we are saying to this nation is that we want all.
What's your life and truly be? Shining star for you to see. What's your life and truly be?
It is Saturday night, and it is the time for experiencing spiritual unity and meditation with the man himself, the brother with like no other, the man with the plan, discovered America, and got it going on. The man like no other, our brother, Dr. Benjamin Bridges. Let's bring him on.
All right, my brother. Yes, indeed. Glad to be on my show tonight. And we're going to see if we can get some things flowing real nice. But anyway, this is the thing. I definitely wanted to give thanks to everyone that came on tonight. And also wanted to say peace and blessings to everyone as well. And one of the main topics that I wanted to speak on tonight is, you know, well, actually two things. One is that we really need to see what we could do to come together in spiritual unity to be a blessing to our community. And that's something that's really important because, unfortunately, a lot of times we look at different things that we need to accomplish and do, but the big part of the problem is spirituality is one of the things that we leave out of the picture. And that shouldn't be. That should be one of the main and very important things that we have as focused on some of the things that could really bring about some positive change for us as a people. Anyway, what I wanted to share is that in us coming together in spiritual unity, that would be great. Because like I said earlier, back in the 60s, that was something that our people entertained to a certain extent. We did do marches. We did actually come together and do protests at different locations and, you know, at different city halls or at the White House and things like that. And we got good response for that. But the only thing is when you leave out God out of the picture, that's something that really is going to kind of hold you back from being able to really make it, you know, with the things that you want to do. But that's something that we definitely need to pay more attention to and see some great blessings start flowing through. And the other side of it as well is that when you really look at this, you know, and see some of the great things that happened, because even with Martin Luther King, you know, that was something that was really great. But he not only just brought forth the guys coming through from the different churches and joining him, which was good, but they joined him not only in doing marches with him, but they also did praying with him as well. And that's something that we never really focused on that really, you know, was something that was very important that Martin and them used to do. And even with Malcolm, you know, that was something that he was doing as well on the spiritual side, but he also was taking care of the physical business as well. But no one really focused on the spiritual side. But these are things that need to be done because the spiritual power and ability that we can utilize and make happen, you know, is something that is very important. But the only problem is if we don't focus on that as a fact of what we can do, then that's a whole nother story, you know. And like I said before, if we don't focus on that, then basically what we're doing is leaving out a very important aspect of what we can actually accomplish and do. So anyway, these are things that we need to take in consideration. And once we start to really analyze the fact that in including God and Jesus, and for you Muslims, for you guys to be focusing on Allah, the bottom line is once we start coming together in, you know, unity, regardless, you know, because back in the 60s, you know, we had Christians, Muslims, Hebrew Israelites, we had Rastafarians, we all came together. And the good thing about that was that it gave us an opportunity to really see that these were things that we could do, you know, by focusing on the spiritual aspect of who we are and what can happen. And like I said, you know, before, you know, one of the great things that, you know, I even experienced was, you know, the ending of the gang wars and things. That was really nice because in focusing on that and seeing that God and Jesus, you know, the power of God and Jesus, you know, could actually bring about an ending of violence in our community, that was really a great and wonderful thing. And I was really very glad to see that this was something that could come about. But again, if we don't even recognize, you know, our spiritual ability to come together in unity to focus on different problems that confront us, and we say, you know, if we're going to deal with it, we only can deal with it from a logical perspective. But that's not true. And the thing about it is, you know, even with the experience of dealing with what we were dealing with before back in 2010, the good thing about it was that it took us 2 years physically to go through the schools with 150 people that were in our group. And that was nice, and that was called Parents Against Teen Violence Group. And when we went into the schools and talked to the kids, that was great. But it took us 2 years to get that message through to them to the point where majority of them came out of the gangs, which was good. But when we dealt with the gang war in Baltimore, you know, the funny thing about it was that, you know, we just did, you know, two meditations on that. And there was supposed to be one gang retaliating against another gang. And because they were purchasing machine guns and everything and claiming that they wanted to get back at that gang, revenge on them, being that they killed about five people in their gang, you know, the terrible thing about that, you know, if that did come about where that retaliation was successful, they wanted to kill just about everybody in the other gang. And that would have been crazy to see about 50 youth lying dead on the ground because of the retaliation of another gang. But again, you know, they had, you know, a reason to be angry because they did kill five people in their gang. But still, you know, you kill five here, they kill 20 there, you kill 30 there, and it just goes back and forth, back and forth. This kind of crazy stuff where our kids are killing each other left and right makes no sense. And that's something that we really need to step up to the plate on and see as well. But anyway, we did pray on that. We did meditate on that. And when Jesus gave us a spiritual formula for us to focus on with that, we utilized that spiritual formula. And what ended up happening, those guys wanted to wipe the other gang out on the weekend. And when they went to get ready to go do that, because the weekend was coming up, what ended up happening, because we did put that vibe out there with the prayer and the meditation and everything, that they never did seek the revenge that they were, you know, bragging about what they were going to do in the community, that they were definitely going to get rid of all the kids in the other gang. And they never sought the retaliation or the revenge on that. And basically being that they didn't, that was a good thing. But that shows you that we do have the ability spiritually to stop many negative things that we are confronting, and we can save the lives of many of our youth and adults. But the big part of the problem with that is that most of us don't believe that we can do it. And because we don't, we even leave spirituality out of the picture in regards to confronting many of the serious problems that we have. But here you got on one side, we did it from a logical perspective where we went into the schools and talked to the kids, and it took us 2 years to get that message through. The other way, we did the prayer and meditation on that for that weekend, for that, you know, situation not to occur. And instead of, you know, that retaliation coming back and for them to, you know, destroy the other gang or to kill most of the people in the gang, that didn't even happen. And that didn't take us 2 years to do that. That just took like about a week for 2 weeks, actually, because we did check on it again for a second week. But anyway, even if you're looking at that in 2 weeks' time compared to 2 years' time, spirituality shows that it can definitely end a serious gang war problem that you're having and end that gang war, because after that occurred, that gang did not, you know, come back on that other gang. And the other gang that did it, the seven, you know, with the, originally with the first five kids, they didn't seek to, you know, go back to them and try to kill some more of them or try to take over their gang or anything like that. So that gang war part was over. And I was really glad to see that. But the big part of the problem is, do we see that? Do we see that these are things that we can do? And the beautiful thing about that is when God and Jesus shares their grace and their mercy with us to actually show us different things that we can do, the bottom line is that we need to start to awaken to the fact that we can do these things. So spirituality is a very, very important part of what we can utilize to bring about positive change in our community. And I can understand why a lot of us do not see it, because if you haven't experienced the successful actual journey of trying to accomplish things from a spiritual perspective, then basically you're going to have in the future serious doubt and, you know, and fear that, oh, man, this is not going to work. I tried something like that in the past, and it didn't even happen, so I don't even want to give it a try. So sometimes people, because they didn't have a successful way of dealing with it, but see, the only other side of it is that, which is, makes it very, very important, is that if you're going to deal with spirituality, whether it be with God or Jesus, one thing you do have, you can't go into this as a doubting Thomas and saying, man, this is probably not going to work, but I'll give it a try. You can't go into it from that perspective. You have to go into it knowing that God and Jesus have the spiritual power and ability to bring about positive change. And if you see it from that perspective, and then you focus on visualizing and praying on your seeing the great success that you're looking for, that's when great things can truly come about. But if you're going to see it from a perspective where you'll do what you can to try to make it happen, but you really don't even believe it can happen, then you're right. It won't happen because you're seeing it as a doubting Thomas or a doubting Thomasina. And these are things that we shouldn't really be focused on, seeing it from that negative perspective that it won't even happen. Anyway, these are things that are very important. Having full faith and moving forward into dealing with things that can truly bring about positive change in our community. But the bottom line is, in order for us to do that, we would have to really see what we can do to open the door for great success to come about. Because if we're going to be strong believers, that's when we can be strong achievers. But if we're going to be doubting Thomases filled with, you know, doubt and feeling that this is not going to happen, and we're putting up brick walls of doubt and fear and all that kind of stuff, then, yeah, that's where we're going to come into a situation where great success is never going to appear before us. But if we can see it from a whole nother perspective, then that's a whole nother story. Because even with our group, we had 150 people. And out of those 150 people, when I spoke with them in regards to doing the prayer and meditation, I only found about 20 people that really felt could be something that would be something that could be have some successful results. But, you know, out of that 150, there was about 130 people that just didn't really feel comfortable with that. They felt that the only way it could be done is through just practical, you know, steps. And that's like the K-test. That's like going in there and talking to the kids and lecturing them on how they need to turn their lives around and all of that. And I give it to them. I do appreciate them, and I do honor what they were doing because, you know, in dealing with it from that perspective, we did get some good results with that as well. But the other side of it is, it's not that easy to find large amounts of people that are willing to deal with things from a spiritual perspective, because, like I said before, a lot of times people have tried to do things from a spiritual perspective and it didn't work. And being that it didn't work, they just don't really feel that if you're going to try to do something from a spiritual perspective, that it's not going to work at all. And because they've had that negative situation in the past, now when they're looking at it, they don't see it from a positive perspective. They're still stuck in seeing it from that negative. But like I said, one of the great things that really has inspired me over the years is that we did get positive results on that. And I was really very glad to see that that came about, because not only was it just a goal where you wanted to, you know, maybe get a house or get some money or, you know, do something like that, we were able to save the lives of hundreds of kids that were going to be killed in the gang wars. And that was great, because the bottom line is the lives of our kids do matter. And what happened with that, God and Jesus were showing us, yes, their lives do matter, and that's why we're going to help you to show you how you can save their lives. And I am very thankful and grateful that that came about. So I'm giving all honor and praise to God and Jesus for allowing that to even come about. It wasn't even a situation where you could just deal with working on something and you just did it on your own and you're the person that, you know, is responsible for making that happen. If Jesus didn't give us that spiritual formula on what we could do to bring about that success, I would have never even known that this is something that we could have done. But being that Jesus did give us that spiritual formula, that was a great, great opportunity, because in utilizing that spiritual formula, we were able to save the lives of many kids. We were able to stop the gang wars. And I'm very, very thankful that Jesus and God were willing to share such a great and wonderful opportunity. But the thing is, because we were able to do it before, we can definitely do it again. But you just have to find, not doubting Thomasinas, you have to find folks that are strong believers. And if you can find a group of strong believers that you can work with, then basically what's going to happen is you're going to be able to get some great and wonderful results. Strong believers end up becoming strong achievers, because they're not stuck in the mindset of seeing things as, from a spiritual perspective, as being something that's probably not going to work. But a strong spiritual achiever is someone that is a strong believer. And that's the thing. We have to open our minds, open our hearts to believing that God and Jesus has the power to actually set certain situations that are really terrible and crazy that we're dealing with right now, cleansing and removing all of that negativity. And once we remove it, then we can like really start to see some great positive things coming about in our community. But again, you have to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God and Jesus has the spiritual power to bring about positive and wonderful results. But you have to be a strong believer in order to be a strong achiever. Because if you're going to be a doubting Thomas, it's not going to work for you. And that's the thing. We have to raise our consciousness up to higher heights and having more faith and confidence in God and Jesus and in our spiritual ability that they are going to, you know, empower us with, so that we can utilize those spiritual tools to actually activate them and make them very successful. So anyway, this is some of the things that I'm really glad that, you know, we have had a chance to, you know, confront, because, like I said before, you know, there's nothing wrong with doing things from a practical perspective, because I do believe that when you can combine the two together, that's a good thing, you know. And the other side of it is, the bad thing is that when you leave spirituality out of the picture completely, and the only thing that you're dealing with is really just the physical, common sense way of doing things, then basically you are leaving out some great blessings and opportunities that can definitely help you and help your community. But when we've been brainwashed to believe that, you know, these are things that we could never do, then that's a big problem for us, in order for us to see great blessings to start coming through. So these are things that we need to really focus on. Once again, the fact that spirituality and dealing with things from a spiritual perspective can really be a great opportunity to bring about positive results in dealing with some of the negative things that are affecting our community. So anyway, that's something that I definitely wanted to speak on, because a lot of us, once again, do not see it from that perspective. But these are things that we can definitely bring about, without a doubt. We definitely can. And if anybody has any comments or anything at this point that they would like to share with us, you know, in regards to utilizing things from that spiritual perspective, definitely let's see what they have to say and see what kind of feedback we could get back from them.
Yeah, you have to move on as well. You have a full house here, so you have to move on quickly. All right, we have 469-364. Your mic is open.
Hey, how's it going? Can you guys hear me?
All right. Yeah, we can hear you. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is Thomas Robinson, CEO of Smooth Town Entertainment. I'm listening in, and I agree with a lot that he says, because, first of all, without spirituality, without God, without Jesus, there's nothing that we can do about anything. And as far as being doubting Thomas's, you have to understand that a lot of people just have a lack of knowledge for the things that they involve themselves in. A lot of times, people are more followers than they are leaders. So when it comes to people being doubting Thomas's, or doubting Thomasinas, as you say, I know firsthand from dealing with the people that I deal with that a lot of them are just not knowledgeable about what it is, and they don't have the ability to move forward on their own. So they either follow misguided information and roll with it, or they follow social media and think that's fashionable because they refuse to do research for themselves or on their own. So a lot of times when you bring certain situations to bettering a situation, they don't know how to go about it, so they go with the masses. So whether 1,000 people are wrong in their algorithm, they're going to go with the masses. So if they want people on the positive side, that's where they're going to go, because people are natural followers. A lot of people.
Brother
Wong,
he's
know.
Really coming in chopped up.
You know, not everybody is made to be a leader. Not everybody is made to understand
okay.
the importance.
Can't hear.
So when it comes down
okay.
to people being doubtful about a lot of things, just because he doesn't have
that good.
To be wrong, that's why they
okay.
join some opposing teams, because they don't want to be wrong. They don't know if they're going to be
wrong. Okay. Thank you so much.
They don't know if it's right or wrong. and they don't take the time to research it, so they never know.
All right.
That's why there are so many doubts and promises and promises.
Okay. Came out of here. All right, thank you so much. We have to move on to the next caller.
Some of that comes with common sense. Some of that comes with common
law. Can't hear. Okay, technical problem. 312-296, your mic is open.
Can you hear it?
296. 312-296, your mic is open. Go right ahead.
Hello?
Your mic is open. Unmute yourself. Hello? Okay. 309-542. Your mic is open.
Hey, good evening.
309.
Good evening, my brother. Yes, have you heard what we were talking about, what we were discussing?
Yes, I
have. Just wanted to get some feedback from you on what you felt about that.
Well, I was enjoying listening to everything that was being said. And the one thing is, you know, that's the one thing we have as being an individual, we're unique. And if we pay attention when we are listening and try to get what we can get out of what it was. Now, I think it was Pastor Don that was talking about the, you know, being able to get the gang wars to stop. You know, I remember how it was, and, you know, I'm glad that it's different now. But, you know, people need to know that they have a purpose to be here. Why are they here? We're an energy source that creates every second of the day. And people don't realize that every thought that you have, is it positive or negative? It can impact the world, especially if you share it with others. But our children need to know this, so that they don't go all the way through life and become an adult that they say old dogs can't learn new tricks. Well, I'm an old dog and I learn new things every day and love to. But the only way I can learn is experiencing by doing something, but also by paying attention to what someone else is doing or what they have done, so that maybe we can do it again and again. And if there's a problem, fix it. You know, you can't fix a problem without claiming it. And that's one of the problems that we need to claim is, okay, why are you here? And I think that was kind of what this discussion's been about, with my take on it. So I appreciate it. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for your comments.
941-285, your mic is open.
941-285,
your mic is open.
I just want to say thank you to this Trey, the general. I'm calling from the Gunshine State, Blazing City. I'm here in representation of the Big 300. And thank you, Pastor Dunn, for having me here and the host of this station. And I kind of caught the end of what you guys was talking about, but as I've been listening, first off, I just want to touch on the subject about Mr. MLK himself. And there was a point of time in what he was standing for, he realized that he was leading his people the wrong way. And I feel like that's what a lot of people haven't really touched on, and which arise to the cause of his death. You know what I mean? Because he was about to expose the truth. And with that being said, a lot of people spoke on like the gangs and how up with like and what's going on in the world today with today's society, And I figure if we dig deep and we really expose the history of things and educate our people on what really happened and stop letting the education system tell them what happened in their way, and we educate our people how we're supposed to educate our people and stop sending our kids to school at the age of 2 and 3 to be taught and characterized in gentrification by some other people, then we'll be in a nice, better place. And a lot of more students and kids and people will have mannerism. We'll know what it is to stand on something and fall for anything. We'll know how to respect their elders. So with that being said, it's like, you got to take accountability of a lot of things before you go ahead and knock someone down and be like, this is the cause and this is the effect. And then just like the brother before me, he was saying, well, in a sense of a manner is, I forgot what is that. I forgot how he said it. Hold on. Give me a second. Let me think about it. Oh, man. I lost it. That meaning what I meant for me to say. But anyway, you know, it's a lot of points that people don't rise when speaking on these type of topics because they figure brush certain people the wrong way. But those are the cause to the effect of what's going on that we're overlooking. And it affects us psychologically. And that's the big part of what we're missing. The psychological effect it has on us as a human being. Do you know what it's like to be taught by people who told you you don't have a history? Do you know what it's like to be taught by somebody who told you don't have a, you don't, they don't know where you come from? You was always a slave? Do you know what it's like to be told that the only person that resembled you that achieved great things was killed by this government? Do you know what type of psychological effect that has on a young black man? I don't think y'all ready to talk about that type of stuff. I don't think y'all ready to accept cause and effect of the actions of this government, the true cause and effect. I don't think y'all ready to realize that this government bombed its own people. I don't think y'all really realize that this government corrupted a good society, the Black Panthers, who was doing a good thing, the same people who gave you free lunches in all the schools today. See what I'm saying? But they don't want to teach you these things. They throw dirt on them. They say they was bad people. But these gentlemen was 19, 21 years old. We're not talking about fully grown men who went to the military. We're talking about adolescents. That this government took out adolescents, that this government throw dirt on their name. Adolescents that did for their community. Adolescents that had daughters in their community. Adolescents that had free food for those in their community. Adolescents who gave their own curriculum education system for their community. And they tell me it can't be done today. For having me, sir, I enjoyed the show. Pastor Don, thank you. Salute to all the good people out there. Love to meet you more.
Well, thank you, brother, for coming on and sharing the feedback. I do appreciate that. And I did just want to speak before you bring on the next person. Two things that are very important in knowing our history. One is that even being in this country, we've been lied to and told that, you know, the only way that our people came to this country was as slaves. And that's not true. We had a huge population of African people already here in this country, and those people that were here, we never even knew that they existed here because we were told a lie on that. The second thing on that was that we had already built between 95 to 100 pyramids here in this country, and we never even knew that pyramids even existed in this country, but our people built those pyramids. And when you actually do the research on that and find out that those pyramids actually are here and that they'll let you know where those pyramids are, but they won't give you access to go inside those pyramids because you're going to be able to see Egyptology, which comes from Africa, and know that our people built those pyramids, you know. So these are some things that are very important, unfortunately, because like you said, this society has told us a lot of lies, unfortunately, because they don't really want us to know that we've ever done any great things, nor that we were the original owners of this America, this continent here. You know, they tried to say, no, no, the Native Americans were the ones that were the original owners. But even when you speak to your, the Native Americans, they'll tell you, oh, yeah, when we came to America, these pyramids were already up and we didn't even build them. And they know they didn't build that. Besides that, even if they did lie with Master Tali and say, oh, no, we did this. You know, the bottom line is when they went inside the pyramids, you would see Egyptology writing. You would see pictures of black people in there. And they don't want you to see that. That's one of the reasons why they're not allowing you to go inside. So that's one lie. And the other lie that is very important as well is that Jesus was a black man. And they don't want you to know that either. Because once you know that Jesus was black, that takes away all of the lies of Satan that was said that we are inferior and white people are superior to us. Because when you see that they are let me finish, brother. When you see that they are praying to, white people are praying to a black man, that shows you that they're asking Jesus for help to help them overcome certain situations, whether it's family problems, financial problems, a lot of different things that they're confronting. But how could a white people pray to a black man if they feel that we're so inferior to them? So that shows you right there that the truth will set you free from seeing yourself as being inferior to them and seeing them as being superior to you. So there's a lot of different lies that have been told to us, and you're right. The history of our people is important to know, because once you know the history of our people, especially on very important things like Jesus being black, who were the original people who were the ones that were here on this continent, which is called America, it wasn't Native Americans. It was Africans that were here. And these are things that were never showed or said to us. But anyway, I just wanted to share that with you because you're right on that. Our youth need to know this because there was even a song back in the day that we said, say it loud, I'm black and I'm proud. But how can you say I'm black and I'm proud when we got all of this negative music that's out there today telling you to kill each other, to hate each other, and all this other crazy stuff? And, you know, our youth aren't going to be saying, say it loud. If anything, they're going to say it loud. I'm ashamed of being black. But we don't need have that kind of music out there that's going to make our youth ashamed of who they are. We need to bring back positive music back into our community and get rid of that nigger hate music that wants to have us be at each other's throats. But anyway, these are things that we definitely need to focus on and see about bringing some change on, you know, allowing the history of our people to come about, to allow you know, that negative music to be definitely cleansed out of our community and to allow positive black music to come into our community to uplift and stimulate and make our people feeling proud of who they are. But go ahead. You said you had one thing you had to share?
Yeah, now I got two because you brought up music. See, as far as the music, so I'm going to take care of one at a time. Now, as far as the music goes, I'm going to say 98% of the conscious artists that's in the industry have yet to have the budget to push their music out there to be heard because they're overpowered by big Fortune 500 companies. And on top of that, it's hard to get investors to invest in conscious music. So the conscious music can grow and change the narrative to the communities in the society of the day. Now, the question I wanted to ask you was this. Every country that has artifacts in different museums and in another country which is not its own has been returned to that country except for one country, and that's Africa. Africa artifacts are spread globally around the world, and Africa cannot get its artifacts returned to the homeland. Why is that?
Yeah, well, that's the thing, brother. You know, Africa has definitely been big and horribly taken advantage of. You know, that's where slavery came in. That's where taking the gold in diamonds and rubies out in Africa and making tons of billions and trillions of dollars off of, and then the people in Africa, they just get little crumbs off the table from that money, you know. But the bottom line is that, you know, this is what you call, you know, taking advantage of people. This is what you call slavery and different things of that sort. But the bottom line is that, you know, as us, as a people, we need to come out of being at each other's throats and come together in really wanting to help one another, really having respect for one another, and wanting to uplift each other into a positive opportunity where we can get rid of poverty out of our community, get rid of self-hatred towards one another, and many other things. But we can never do that if we don't start to really see that the lives of our people do matter. If we're seeing our children killing each other left and right out here, we can't allow that to keep happening. We have to
educate for the next generation. What I'm talking about,
we're not giving.
Oh, it just came to me. I'm sorry, brother. I apologize. It just came to me. Remember, I told you I had to remember what the brother before me was talking about, and it just came to me. He said that this is a problem, but we don't have a problem when we have a solution. As long as you have a solution, there is no such thing as a problem. And a solution is this. We have to educate our younger generation and plan for 30 years ahead. That way, when I'm dead and gone, I will know that they're going and moving in the right direction.
Exactly.
That's the solution.
But the problem is you can't rely on the system to educate them the proper way, because they're trying to educate them to feel down and out. Whereas when we come together and try to teach them the truth, who they are and what they can accomplish in life, that's one thing. But when you've been told that you are weak, limited people that can't accomplish much in life, then that gives the youth a very negative perspective on what they can do with themselves. And only reason why they get stay stuck in that kind of mindset is because we as adults have not stepped up to the plate to teach them positive aspects of who they are and what they can do. And that's where we come in. We have to start black schools. We can't rely on keeping them in these public schools where many of them are being labeled as special ed students, and many of them are being labeled as mentally incompetent and all this kind of crazy stuff. Because when that happens, by the time they become adults, they don't even want to try to become a millionaire or somebody that's going to make hundreds of thousands of dollars. The reason why is because they've been so brainwashed and seeing themselves from a negative perspective, they don't believe that they could ever do anything like that. And that's a lie. They do have the ability to do it, but when you brainwash a person into making sure that they can't even ever believe that these are things that they could ever do, then basically they won't do it. But that's where we come in. We can't just
indoctrinated.
Start looking at us and make sure that we step up to the plate to do things for our youth and to do things even for our adults that are suffering right now in the ocean of poverty. And they don't have to drown in that ocean. We can pull them up out of it and definitely allow them to live a healthy and prosperous life. They don't have to live in the dungeon of poverty where they're going to be suffering immensely. And that's how a lot of our people end up in jail. That's how a lot of them end up stealing from one another and all of that, because they're desperate for food, they're desperate for money. And when you're in a desperate situation, a lot of times you do those negative things only because you don't have any cash in your hand or any cash or ability to be able to take care of yourself. And these are things that we can do and turn around. But when we don't even want to be bothered with, what, help these niggas? I don't want to help them. Shoot, I looked out for me, but I ain't got to look out for them. I don't want to be bothered with them. And when you have that kind of selfish, negative attitude, that's what causes your people to be able to suffer more intensely. But once we start to come together again in unity and want to work with one another, want to help each other, want to be a blessing to one another, that's when we're going to see positive change. And we're not going to be able to get everybody in our community to do this all at once. But in the beginning, what we need to do is find the people that have an open mind and open heart that truly want to help their people and come together in unity to see what we can do. And we can deal with it again, not only from a practical viewpoint of opening up schools and community centers and things like that, but we can also deal with it from a spiritual perspective as well. And that's something that we need to take in serious consideration also. But anyway, my brother, I do thank you for coming on and sharing your feedback. And now we're going to get ready to go on to the next person. So, Brother Ryan,
9586, your mic is open.
Say that number again.
929-586.
Yes, good evening. Loving the conversation as always. And the Gentiles have co-opted everything that Africa or any other civilization has gone forward to try to do for self. And when I mean Gentiles, I mean white people. Those were the Gentiles. When we go to church, you know, people say, well, because you're not saved, you're one of the Gentiles. But we're the Israelites. And we were co-opted by the Gentiles, you know, and so on, whether it's Greek or Rome, what have you, talking about white people, Catholic Church. We're still corrupted by it. We deal with the same policies or agree to the same policies that Rome was built on. You know, we still worship on Sunday, you know, Sabbath, you know, not the Sabbath and anything else. Just think about what the Pope did a couple of weeks ago with the fasting. He decided, if this was of God, and his law, and the God's law, says don't change anything. Don't change dot, or tittle. All right? He came up and changed the food dimensions on what should be Friday. Before it said, oh, you only eat fish. You know? Okay, now, yeah, I can say you could eat meat because I talked to God. He was on the left. He was on the right side of the seat. And they change things to their convenience. Mm-hmm. They keep things for their convenience to keep power. Mm-hmm. You know, if God says, you know, I'm not down with homosexuality, all right, and Pope says, well, yeah, that's okay. Who are they? You know, it was a Gentile that went behind Jesus to get healed or heal her daughter. This was a white man. They said the white woman and the Israelites, the Hebrews, us. God was saying, listen, these people are like dogs eating their own vomit. All right? And as I'm reading still, I did glean through some things today, you know, about the Bible and really reading it and interpreting certain things. You know, when Paul was sent to Ephesus and so on, to preach the gospel of salvation, of change, they put him in prison. Later on, they had him killed. But we don't understand these things because we're taught, again, an incomplete gospel, an incomplete Bible. And if you look at the Ethiopian Bible, if you look at the Quran, if you look at other Bibles that had those other 39 books and other so many thousands of prophets, you will see what Enoch, the scribe of God, was writing about. And so on. So our spirituality, the situation with our spirituality is confused. It's confusing. As is, we're talking about the, teaching our children and, you know, this, you know, 30 years ahead, you know, and stuff like we've been doing this. We've been doing that before I was born with different organizations, different realms of understanding. you know, not different realms of understanding, but realms of understanding that the slaves, I'm getting confused because I can't say ex-slaves anymore. Because as long as we adhere to this system and their ways, we are still in slavery. You know, the whole economic system has been based on us, on slavery. You know, and if it wasn't for that, this country wouldn't be as powerful or quote-unquote great, you know, as it is. And if you look at, if you're looking at the news or listening to politics or politrics, you know, you can, and you have some of this knowledge and understanding, you can truly see how things and where things are going, you know, against God and God's people. So there is a price to pay to the Gentiles and those of us who don't, who have forgotten who we are and where we're from. There's a price to pay. We can be redeemed. You know, but these Gentiles are going to have problems. And it's going to be sooner than you think. You know, so we move on in spirit and in truth, but we gotta find the truth. He said, "The truth shall set you free." Well, there's some people. They say there's some people that say, "Well, this is my truth." You know, and there's truth all out there, but the truth, you know, not the truth at this time, but the truth is there. It's out there. And every day, if we glean on our history and listen to people rather than separate ourselves, oh, I'm not going to be, I'm not an Israelite, oh, I'm not a Muslim, I'm not, you know, all these things are coming into one. You know, Muslims, true Muslims, believe in Jesus Christ coming back. You know, and they praise him as a prophet, you know, but they know that he's coming back, you know, and so many other faiths and religions that are not Anglo-Saxon or WASP, you know, they're just getting, some of them are just getting into the understanding, and they're being ostracized from their own churches and religions. Look at the Christian religion, I'm beginning to hate that word because it has nothing to do with us. It has something to do with what happened in Rome, in Europe, in Greece. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember people using the word Grecian, and I didn't understand what I thought that was. You know, you talk about Grecian, it was Greek. The Grecians were Hebrews. They were black people, Israelites. You know, that's what that name means. And other names and other things that have come out that we don't understand and we that have been put in the closet in shelves of the Vatican or Library of Congress, you know, what have you. These things are out here, and they're people out here pulling up, young people getting this information and pulling it up and sharing it. But we don't want to listen. Oh, that's YouTube. I mean, you know, you can't believe anything that's on YouTube. Well, you know, you should say, well, you can't believe everything that's written in a book. You know, so we have to continue the path that our ancestors and our grandfathers and great-great-grandfathers took and that we separated ourselves from. Because, oh, that's not true. Well, I don't like them, so I'm not going to listen to them. Listen to every damn thing, you know. Study to show thyself approved, you know. And this is important. And this is how we will move forward for our spiritual success, our physical success, our mental success, you know. And it's not one person that owns or knows everything, because there's so many things hidden. But there are scholars out there, and not just PhDs. You don't have to be a scholar to be, you know, my nephew says, you know, I respect scholarly understanding, you know, and views. Well, you got scholars out here that are 19 years old or 30 years old, never been to college. But you know what they have? You know what they can do? They can research. And that's what people are doing. You can be unemployed. You can be unemployed with a PhD, and your scholarship don't mean nothing. You know, so we need to lighten up on each other about who we like, what we like, and don't, you know, don't trust him because he believes that way.
Thank you,
he
Ron.
Believes this way.
We all appreciate that, Ron.
I was talking about my PhD. I'll talk about
my
PhD.
You can have my paper. You can have my. Anyway.
Yeah, I know my. I ain't got, that will help me through the heat this winter. You know.
Well, but I do appreciate what you've been sharing with us thus far, my brother. Yes,
yeah,
indeed.
You know, but
because,
we gotta. We have to. We have to. We gotta understand.
Brother.
Love you all, even though you got PhD, so I love you anyway.
Okay, we have 757-676. Your mic is open.
Seven five seven six seven six.
Good evening, gentlemen. Brother Grace out of Williamsburg, Virginia. Very interesting conversation. Catching the part pretty much at the middle part, but good intellects, fellas. Very good intellects and scholars. Just the word scholar itself tells us a lot that we have to be the bridge, and we are already the bridge for our next generation. So unless we reach one, teach one, then we're going to find ourselves repairing that bridge instead of building it. Back to you, sir.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
Well, 602.
That, yeah.
602-478.
Greetings in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. My name is Pastor Don Jr., CEO. Shouts out to the Lead 300 winning team members. Shouts out to all the participants. Everybody out there in Radio Land, I'm loving the show. I'm here. I'm texting people. Thank you for everybody who got the message, called in. Thank you for the NEO Project for opening this platform, bringing these great topics of discussions, putting this word out there. If we don't talk about it, we will never change. With that being said, I'm dropping the mic. Damn.
Okay. Well, thank you, Pastor Don. I do appreciate you bringing some folks on, and that's a good thing. And also, you know, like I said earlier, we just need to share this and see about coming together in unity with folks that are strong believers so that we could definitely be strong achievers to bring about some positive results. And we're on our way to a brighter day, but we just need to see what we can do. And right now, I have a sister that has some comments on this as well.
Greetings, everyone. I thank God for everything y'all said, and it's so true. We all need to come together, but the youth need some role models. You know, that's why the youth is out there doing what they're doing, because just like this, Denzel Washington said, it says it starts in your home. It starts in the home. So, you know, Like Jesus was. He said when he was a child, he acted like a child. But when he came to be a man, he put away all that childish thing. And another topic, God said, how can you love me that you never seen and hate your brother? You know, sometimes you got to go out and witness. You got to show them love. You know, that's the topic right there is love. You know, you got to love your brothers, even though they're out there doing wrong. They already know they're doing wrong. But they want to know if anybody going to show them love. You know, because I done went to a lot of them. I didn't say, They was this, they was that. I said it was men's and women's of God. And through the love that God showed me how to reach his people, you know, God said he loves us. In spite of what we do, he said, love covers a multitude of sins. You know, God don't have speckled people. People do. God loves everybody. You know, he said he hates the sin they do, but he still loves them. You know, and people, just like the man of God said, people not talking about homosexual, which that's one of the spirit God hates. That's abomination to the Lord. You know, when the king's man told the man that they had daughters, they didn't want the daughters. They wanted the men. And when they grabbed to the door, God blinded their eyes. So God said, any of his words shall fail, heaven and earth shall pass away. And Jesus is soon to come. Time is winding up. You know, like the Bible said, get your house in order. You know, like Michael Jackson's song, The Man in the Mirror. Sometimes you got to look at yourself and say, self, take a examine of your own self. You know, God loves us regardless. I just thank God for this radio show because God is not like man. He won't put you down. He won't put you to the side. Because, you know, I look at it like this. David was a murderer. David was a homeowner. Moses was a drunkard. But God still chose them. The ones that's on the street, that's the one God used. Them will be the good disciples. That's why Jesus chose 12 disciples. He chose the fishermen. He chose the people that been on the street, the people don't want to bother with. They're the one God used. Because he said, many are called, but few are chosen. And God knows who his chosen vessel are. So I just want to say, I thank God for y'all input. You know, it's really on time. I thank God for what the man of God say about, you know, you got to be about it. Stop talking about it and be about it. You know, go out there and talk to the youth. You know, because God had me to sit at a park. And it was a young boy came where I was sitting. And tears was rolling down his face. He told me. He said, mother told him he'll never amount to nothing. He won't be nothing. And I told that young man, I said, don't get that in your spirit. I said, you are a man of God. And I said, what kind of talents you got? He said, I play drums and the keyboard. That young man, when I seen him again, somebody in the church offered him to play the keyboard. And they gave him a job, and he told the preacher he don't want no money. He's doing it from God's heart. So that's why I don't knock nobody. I can speak on it. I used to be a gangbanger. I had brothers that were drug dealers, and they turned their whole life around, and now they produce us. So God can take your mess and make it out of mess. I used to be a game banger in Mount Vernon. I used to party. I used to be an alcoholic. But God saved me and turned my message into a testimony. And when you tell your testimony, it helps somebody else along the way. Just like this woman of God, I'm a setup, called all the way from California. You never know who God gonna send to you. You never know what a person's going through. You never know why a person out there selling drugs. You never know why a person in gang. You got to sit down and talk to them. It starts in the home. That's what the Bible says. Charity starts at home. He said, get your family saved before you try to get anybody else saved. See, when I tell the truth, people don't want to hear the truth. But I'm the type, I ain't going to sugarcoat it. God said the truth will make you free. God said, how can you judge another man? But God said, don't judge. He's the judge. Only thing God say, love them. He said, pray for one another. He said, love your neighbor as yourself. Don't think you more higher than a person that's a homeless person, because God can turn, God can take that homeless person and raise them up and put you down and let you go through what they've been through and see, can you handle it? See, that's what kind of God we serve. Just like today, God had me to preach, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. And the topic was, be careful putting your mouth on men's and women's of God, because you don't know who God's child is. You know, a drunk could come and tell you something. That's why I don't look down on nobody. Because I never forget where I came from. And if it wasn't for Jesus dying on that cross for our sins, if he didn't take that bid, we'd have been still out there doing the same thing what people doing. We'd have been going straight to hell if Jesus didn't take that cross. So I just thank God for the word that God placed in my spirit to speak. Don't look down on a man unless you pick him up.
All right, my sister. Thanks for sharing your positive message. And Brother Ron, you had someone else as well?
We can continue.
Oh, okay. Well, right now, let's see. It's 8 o'clock now. Okay, good. So we got an hour here. But anyway, so getting back to some of the things that we've been discussing and, just really taking a serious and strong look at that is that, you know, it's true that, you know, as my sister was saying, the family does play a very important part in this. And the thing about it is that, you know, unfortunately, because the black family has been scrutinized under so much pressure and poverty and many other things, and many times the focal point has also been, you know, a lot of brothers have been thrown into jail, so that child doesn't even have a father in the family. It's just the mother raising the child. And sometimes if that mother has 4 or 5 or 7 or 8 kids, that puts a lot of pressure on that one person. All I can say is that, you know, it's difficult many times for the black family to actually, you know, help an individual child. But the thing about it, what the, you know, African proverb said that was very powerful, and that was it takes a village to raise a child. So even if that child does not come from you, if it doesn't come from another person, when I say that, I mean, I'm talking about a husband and wife had a child. A lot of times those children that we see out on the street aren't even children that came from you. But still in all, we need to see them as our community family. And if we see them as our community family, then we should actually reach out to try to see what we can do to help these kids. Because unfortunately, because many of the black families are not really strong as they could be and should be, you know, that's where we as a black community come in. And that is the family, the black community. And like I said, back in the 60s, that was when the black community actually did come together. And many times,
you know, you even had black people that were willing to give up their lives for the family of the black community, you know. You had folks that were going on these protests and doing different things, and sometimes they were getting killed, you know. But the bottom line was, even if that was a risk that they had to take, they didn't mind taking it because they were interested in seeing the life of the people in their community be changed. And they were very, very much focused on that. And that was a good thing for them to be focused on, even willing to sacrifice their life for the blessing of their children and the blessing in their community and the blessing of the community itself. And that was a good thing. But nowadays, a lot of times, you don't find that kind of energy in our community where people are willing to sacrifice their life. And I'm not even saying that they have to, everybody needs to get ready to sacrifice their life, but at least get involved in trying to do some positive things to help your community, all right? And the good thing about that, again, when you deal with it from a spiritual perspective, sometimes, you know, people are fearful of going on a march or going on a protest. Police are going to throw them in jail, or they're going to be some other negative situations that can happen. But when you're in a church, or if you're in a park and you're doing a prayer with different people, and you have a group of strong believers that are there focused on that particular problem that you're confronting, then that's a good thing. And these are some of the things that we need to focus on as well. Because in us focusing on our spiritual ability to bring about those positive changes, that's when the positive changes will come about. But the bottom line is, we need to awaken to the fact that spiritually we do have power, we do have the ability to make some great and wonderful things come about. And I know these are things that have not been taught in the churches, unfortunately, but you have to understand, just as one of the brothers was saying there, Brother Ronnie, he was saying that basically this, you know, Christianity is geared in a way to empower, you know, white people. And that's the reason why in the black churches, we're not even seeing any of this stuff being spoken on. And that's one of the reasons why even, you know, on the radio show earlier, there was a white racist that came on talking about the fact that if you talk about the fact that we are sons and daughters of God, or that Jesus was black, that, you know, I could either be thrown in jail or I could be killed because I'm talking about this. But regardless of, you know, what they are saying, the truth of it is that our people need to awaken to the fact that their true identity is not being a limited, weak, mentally incompetent person. Their ability to realize who they are as a true son and daughter of God is what really needs to happen. Because once they understand that they are true sons and daughters of God, and that they do have the spiritual power to do great and wonderful things, that's when you're going to really start to see some great, powerful and wonderful changes in our community. And that's one of the things, like I said earlier, said in the Bible. You know, that's a very powerful statement. God said, you are made in the likeness and image of him. How can you be made in the likeness and image of God and then at the same time be a person that is very weak, limited, and disabled to accomplish success? That doesn't even make any sense. But when you see things from that positive perspective and you know that you're capable of doing some great positive and wonderful things, then that's when your ability to accomplish great things can definitely come about. Because you're not seeing yourself as a loser, you're seeing yourself as a winner. You're not seeing yourself from a negative mindset, you're seeing yourself from a positive mindset. And that makes a big difference in people being successful, as whether they're millionaires or whether they're middle income people, whether they're successful in accomplishing different things in their life. The bottom line is, it's very, very difficult to accomplish things in your life when you see yourself from a negative mindset. and you're really feeling that, you know what, this is probably not going to happen for me. Oh, you know what, I'm wasting my time trying to do this. And if you got that kind of mindset, then guess what? You're right. It's 9 out of 10. It's not going to happen for you. But if you can be in a positive mindset, then that's just going to make the difference for you. And that's the thing that our people really need to do. Switch over from the brainwashing of the negative mindset into the positive mindset that our people can bring our people back into. And once we start to reawaken ourselves to our true identity, to our true ability, then that's going to be a great and wonderful thing, because no longer will we be in poverty consciousness. No longer will we be a prisoner of poverty and negative thinking that's going to limit us to what we can do and what we can be. So these are things that are very important. Not only do we have to awaken ourselves mentally, but we also need to definitely activate our true ability to awaken ourselves to knowing that we are truly sons and daughters of God. And once we start to awaken ourselves to that and acknowledge that, that's when we're going to be able to really accomplish some things that we've been wanting to see as far as bringing about some positive change in our community. But how can you bring about positive change in your community if you see yourself as a loser? How can you bring about great and wonderful things financially in your life if you see yourself as someone that probably would never, ever become a millionaire or even a middle-income person making hundreds of thousands of dollars? None of these things can come about if you're going to see yourself from that negative mindset. But once we start to reawaken ourselves into a positive mindset, and then from there reawaken ourselves into our spiritual identity of who we truly are, true sons and daughters of God, that's when we're going to awaken ourselves to really be able to bring about some positive change. And that's great. But again, we have to be willing to even acknowledge that spirituality is something that we should acknowledge as something that we have the ability to do. And if we can really start to see ourselves from that perspective, that's a good thing. But if we're just going to sing the song of woe is me and why is all this negativity happening to me and keep saying woe is me over and over again, you're just going to, you know, draw more negativity into your life. But if you start to see yourself from that positive perspective and really start to see yourself from that spiritual perspective, that's when you're going to start to see great and wonderful things coming to you that can really change your life. And that's one of the reasons why we really, really, really need to start to acknowledge that we are true sons and daughters of God that have the ability to do great and wonderful things. And even though there are people out there that definitely do not want us to know who we are and what we can do, that's all right. It doesn't make a difference of what they want. The real deal is that you need to know who you are and what you need to do. And that means that you need to take the time, you need to take the focus on really starting to see that great and wonderful ability. And if we're not going to take the time to deal with that, then that's what's going to cause big problems to come about. But that's, again, up to us. We have the choice where we can do those things that can turn a lot of those negative things around, or we can focus on just the negativity in our lives and seeing more negativity coming our way. But anyway, these are things that are very important. And spirituality is something that we cannot afford to leave out of the picture. With God and Jesus playing a part in our lives and helping us to rise above the negative things that we're dealing with in our lives, that's going to be a great and wonderful thing to see. But all we need to do is know for a surety that we can make some of these great and wonderful things come about. And when we start to see that, that's when we're going to really be able to achieve some great and wonderful results in our lives. So anyway, right now what I would like us to do is just take a look at some of the things that we can do. And one of them is utilizing different tools that can bring about positive change in our lives. And some of the positive tools that are there is, you know, affirmations. And some of us may say, affirmations, what's that? An affirmation is the power of the spoken word. When you utilize the power of the spoken word and you repeat it over and over again to yourself, what it does, it reprograms your mind and it empowers your mind to see things from a positive perspective. And that's very important. And like I said, in the school system, over the 12 years that I was teaching a program there, the good thing about that was that we ended up helping a lot of kids come out of failing every year and getting into even reaching the A and B honor roll. We also were able to get quite a few kids that were stuck into seeing themselves from that negative perspective and also seeing themselves as losers and not seeing themselves from a positive perspective. We were able to change their mind out of that negative perspective into the positive. And that's the thing. We have the ability to accomplish great things, but the only problem is most of us do not acknowledge our great and wonderful ability. And that's something that we really need to do. Because once we do, that's when we'll be set free from a lot of the negativity that we're stuck in on a regular basis. But again, affirmations is one thing can really cause some positive things to come our way. And just want to share with you a situation that was happening at Mount Vernon High School in Mount Vernon, New York. There was a sister that wanted to be on a cheerleading squad. And unfortunately, that particular year, there was a huge amount of people that wanted to be a part of the cheerleading squad. And it was too many people. And being that it was, the supervisor of the cheerleading squad said, you know what? We got to see what we can do to, you know, eliminate some of you guys. Unfortunately, we can't keep all of you guys on the cheerleading squad with us. And the reason why is just too many people. So unfortunately, we're going to have to cut some of you guys loose out of the program. So they did. So over a period of time, there was quite a few of them that, you know, were told that they couldn't stay on the cheerleading squad, that they were going to have to leave. And one of the people that was in our meditation group, she wanted to be on the cheerleading squad, but the big part of the problem was, you know, she wasn't sure whether she was going to be able to make it or not. And then, you know, we spoke with her about that. We just said, hey, what you need to do is just try to see yourself on that cheerleading squad and possibly making it. And the main thing is say the affirmation that can really have you to focus on seeing yourself as being successfully there. And once you can really start to see yourself from that positive perspective of being able to make it on there and just keep visualizing that as well, then 9 out of 10, you'll be able to make it. But anyway, make a long story short, she did start to utilize the affirmation. And the affirmation was, I see it, I believe it, and now I achieve it. I see it, I believe it, and now I achieve it. I see it, I believe it, and now I achieve it. And being that she was utilizing that affirmation over and over again, she started to program her mind into seeing that she had achieved her goal. And the thing about it was trying to think of the name of the person who's the head in charge of the that group and the cheerleading squad. But anyway, that lady, you know, spoke with her and said to her, you know what, I really, you know, have been watching you as one of the, you know, members of, you know, the cheerleading squad, and basically we're still getting rid of some of them, but I have decided with you that I can't have you as a regular member of our cheerleading squad. So I just wanted to let you know that. And then she said, "Wow, you're not going to allow me to be a member of the cheerleading squad? Not a regular member. I want you to be the captain of the cheerleading squad." And she said, "What? The captain of the cheerleading squad?" She said, "That's right. I decided to make you that." And that was really great to hear that, because the thing about it that really got that opportunity for her was that she was really already feeling that 9 out of 10 that she was going to be able to make her way into that successfully. And she did. But she didn't, she was just basically focusing on being able to become a member of the cheerleading squad. She wasn't really focusing on being the captain of the cheerleading squad, but that was a great part of the blessing that came her way as well. So doing affirmations and visualization where you're seeing yourself as a winner, you're seeing yourself accomplishing great success, these are things that can really cause some great things to come about. So even though we got some background noise in the background here, and Brother Ron, I don't know whose phone that is, but at the same time, if you could mute some of those, that would be good. Because if you're going to have somebody screaming in the background there, that ain't going to work, you know. So that basically drowns out what you're saying, and people aren't even going to be able to hear a word that you're saying. So anyway, as I said again, what we're looking at is the fact that there are definitely spiritual tools that are there that can really empower our people. But unfortunately, our people don't even know that those tools are available to really change them from staying in a negative mindset to a positive mindset. And being that they don't use that. But the thing about it is we can bring positive change into our lives. But the bottom line is that we have to know what are some of the ways that we can do that? What are some of the steps that we can take so that we can reach that mountaintop of success and be able to accomplish our very best? Because if we're just going to see ourselves as people that are stuck in negativity, then that's a whole nother story. And being stuck in negativity and not to be able to ever come out, and if that's what we're going to accept, then that's going to cause some very negative things to come our way. Not the success that we're looking for, but the negative situations can get worse and worse. But that's where we come in. Because just like I said, that young lady that did that, not only did she get a chance to become a member of the cheerleading squad, but she ended up becoming the captain of the cheerleading squad. And she wasn't even really focused on that. But because she put that positive energy out there and really focused on that sincerely, that's what happened. It drew that blessing to her. Because there's an old saying, what you see is what you get. And if you can see yourself in the positive and see yourself successfully achieving things, then that's what can come your way. But the other side of it is, if you're going to keep seeing yourself from the negative and you're only going to see yourself in that negative mindset, then basically that's what's going to come your way as well, more negativity. So we need to re-educate our people to see that they do not have the ability to really bring about negative change in their lives if they don't want to. They can bring about positive change in their lives. But these are things that we really, really need to do. And if we do it from that perspective, that will be a whole nother situation for us. And I know these are things that we have not been taught in the school systems. We've been taught that, unfortunately, you're a special ed student and you are mentally incompetent. You're mentally weak-minded, and you'll never get on the A or B honor roll. You're never going to achieve things. And that's one of the reasons why we have a large percentage of our youth dropping out of school as well, because they don't see themselves as being able to be successful in staying in the schools and to be able to accomplish things, because they keep getting brainwashed into seeing themselves as students that are incapable of doing stuff. So the thing about it is, that's the reason why we need to have black schools, because when we sincerely teach our students how they are not mentally incompetent, how they are not limited, and they will never be able to accomplish great and wonderful things in their lives, and you can start to reinstate positive thinking into their minds and in their hearts so that they can actually start to feel that they can accomplish great things and that they are capable of this, that will bring about great and wonderful change in our students, our future generation. And that other thing that's very important, instead of having self-hatred towards your brothers and sisters, instead of feeling that you wouldn't mind if you had a gun in your hand to pull that trigger and kill them, what you should be doing is thinking about how you can help them, how you can show caring to them and respect to them and want to be a blessing to the people in your community. And once you can start doing things like that and feel that way, that's when you're going to start to see a positive community, not one where people are saying, oh, we can't trust these folks, I don't want to have nothing to do with them, and this, that. You know, we don't need all of that negativity. We don't need to hear folks cursing each other out and all that kind of crazy stuff. What we need to do is to feel that we are on the verge of really, really accomplishing great, awesome, and amazing things for ourselves and for our people. And once we start to see things from that perspective, then that's when we're going to see about some really great and wonderful things coming about for our people. But that's the thing. When you're in the public school system, there are some of our youth that do actually make it into that AMD honor roll. There are some of our youth that actually do graduate, whether they're on the C level, whether they're on the B level or the A level, you know, but at least they are graduating. And the good thing about that, that's good. But the other side of it is, even in going into college, you know, the question is, if you're going into college and when you graduate, you'll end up owning $150,000 for, you know, your payments for going to school. And then the question is, when you try to get a job after you've come out of that, some of them don't. So we have to have entrepreneurial programs too that can really show our youth how they can start their own businesses and make money. We can show them how they can get good paying jobs and really start to make some things really happen. And that is what's very important for them, because when we can really show them positive things like this, selling drugs out on the street corner no longer become an item that they have to get involved with. Because if you could get a good paying job where you don't have to worry about what the police are going to say or other people in the justice system against you, you don't even have to worry about going to jail, because you're working at a good job, whether it's your job, where you're in control because you are dealing with your own business that you just started, or whether you are dealing with a business that can pay you some good money. And there are some good opportunities out there. The only problem is, we as a people and parents have to show our youth what jobs are out there that could really make them good paying money. We as adults need to show our youth the good opportunities that are there where they can start their own business and make good amounts of money. But if we're just going to say, nah, let them go ahead and sell drugs, I don't care if they end up in jail, you're going to have that kind of attitude where you don't want to do nothing but just sit on the sideline and just say nothing or do nothing to help your youth, then that's a whole nother story. But the bottom line is that we don't need to have that negative attitude where we don't care about the future of our children. We should care about them, and we should be very, very interested in seeing positive change come through for them, because we can definitely make that come about. But again, in us coming together in unity and showing that we do care about the lives of our children in our community is very, very important. Because once we do see that and really start to acknowledge that this is something that can really come about, that's when we're going to see some great and wonderful opportunities coming to a successful and wonderful results. And that's what we really need to see about bringing about, not just to, you know, think that, you know, this is all going to happen on its own. We have been here to do what we can do to help our children, to help our, you know, brothers and sisters that are adults as well. And once we start to have that feeling of, instead of saying, I don't really care about, you know, my people, but now you are saying I do care. Because back in the 60s, we did care about each other. And that was the reason why we could come together and deal with helping each other. And once we did come from that perspective, that was when we definitely, definitely got some good results in being able to bring about some positive and wonderful change for our people. So all I can say at this point is that these are the things that we definitely need to start to consider
having. We have more calls.
Our ability. Oh, we do have some more calls. Okay. Well, we can bring some on.
310-658, your mic is open.
They could give us some feedback on what we're talking about.
Your mic is open. Unmute yourself.
Hey, what's going on?
You got it, my brother. So have you been listening to what
doing,
we've been talking about?
Say that again.
Have you been listening to what we've been talking about?
Well, yeah, I was just chimed in, absolutely.
Oh,
great,
okay.
Great talk.
Some feedback from you. So what do you think, brother?
I think it's absolutely phenomenal what he said. We got to change, you know, that negative perception into a positive one so we can go into the future the right way, you know, with a conducive environment of change, you know. Absolutely. That's what I believe. You dig? By the way, my name is Blue Rag. I'm a brother leaving unity everywhere, respect as given, greatness. And so what I'm doing is seeking out greatness from the youth. You know what I mean? I want to educate them and show them the way to go so they can go down that narrow path of righteousness with a strategic plan, especially if they're trying to get into this entertainment business. For real, for real.
Mm.
That is what it is, and that's all it's going to ever be. Trust and believe that.
No, I hear you on that, bro. Yeah, the only thing with that, with the entertainment business, especially with the music, they just need to be doing positive rap instead of negative. Because it, unfortunately, the way that the system is rigged right now is if you are willing to be a black youth or even a young adult that's out there doing the negative rap and don't mind saying all these negative things about it's all right for us to kill each other and all this other crazy stuff and the disrespect of women and all kind of crazy stuff that is being said in the music, then basically all it does is continue to brainwashing our people into wanting to hate each other, to disrespect each other, to kill each other, and that's ridiculous. But if we could get them into the entertainment industry and to really do some positive things, that would be good. Because if we could bring some positive music back into the community, that would really be a wonderful thing to see and to hear. Because our people don't have to have all that negativity. They can have some positivity too. But the bottom line is that that's where we come in. We have to be able to create music studios and different things and even share with our youth that it's not about, you know, having this negativity. Even if they're offering to pay you good money so that you could do that stuff, And that's what's happening out there. Some of them are making hundreds of thousands. Some of them are even making millions of dollars. But with the wordage of what they're saying and the songs on what they're doing is causing a lot of negativity. So, yeah, the music piece is something that's very important, that we bring positive music back into our community and get rid of the negative. And the other thing that you were saying, getting rid of that negative mindset of seeing people in that negative mindset, that's very important as well. Because if we can actually start to see ourselves from that positive perspective and really starting to believe that we can accomplish some great and wonderful things in our lives, that's a good thing. So that could change our lives and really help to change the lives of other people in our community as well. So, yeah, brother, I do appreciate your feedback. That was well said. So, Brother Ron?
Come again.
Move forward. Say that number again. What number was that?
No, I said you can move forward in terms of you can wrap up.
Oh, you said you can move forward. Oh, okay.
Another 6 minutes.
Yeah, you're right. Time is starting to slip away here. And I was going to do the meditation and everything, but we don't have enough time to do it. So no problem. What I will say is this, though. What we can do this time is a quick prayer. And this time, guess what? I'll do prayer myself this time. It's just that since I won't be able to do the meditation. But anyway, let's see what we could do with that. Because right now, we really need to start to show respect, caring, and the desire to be a blessing to one another. So I just want to start that for right now with a short, quick, and powerful prayer and see what we could do to bring about some positive and wonderful change in our community. Anyway, giving all honor and praise to the Supreme Lord of the universe and to his beloved Son, Jesus the Christ, we are giving thanks unto the Lord for his loving kindness, mercy, and grace in allowing us at this time to reawaken our people to know that they are no longer needed to be prisoners of poverty, of being stuck in a negative mindset, of seeing themselves as people that need to kill each other and hate each other and all of that. All of that negativity now can be totally erased and replaced by the divine love of God and Jesus the Christ. And that divine love can cleanse the minds and hearts of our youth and our adults to no longer be stuck in the wickedness and in the evilness of Satan, but now can raise their consciousness up on high in God and Jesus so that that energy of being in that negative perspective will no longer exist, but now they can see things from a righteous perspective and a holy perspective and a godly perspective to do things from the right mindset, to be caught up into the negative and wickedness of the past, but now to be set free so that we can truly come together in unity to help one another, to share with one another, to show kindness to one another, to be a true blessing to one another. And when we can come together from that perspective to really, really want to help one another, that's when we're going to start to see a brand new and wonderful community. So again, let us open our minds, let us open our hearts to want to help each other, to want to really show some caring for one another, to really show the desire to be a blessing to one another. And in showing that, in allowing God's divine love and Jesus' divine love to fill our minds and hearts, and to see that light of God's divine love and that light of Jesus' divine love filling our minds and hearts, all of that negativity of the past will no longer be able to last. Allow it to flow from the crown of your head to the bottom of your feet getting rid of all of that negativity of Satan's desire to keep you feeling negative towards one another and seeing yourself from that negative perspective. Now you can see the light of God's divine love and Jesus' divine love flowing through your mind and heart, setting you free from all of that terrible and wicked negativity. You are truly a son and daughter of God that has the ability to create a new reality for your life and the lives of others. So let us start to see this new reality start to be. All we have to do is know for a surety, grace, divine love, and mercy of God, we can start to see great and wonderful things coming about for you and me. So again, we are on our way to a brighter day, but we have to see it and believe it. Open our minds and hearts to desire to see a new reality of God come through, where his heavenly kingdom should be here on earth, but all this wickedness and evilness will no longer be able to exist on planet Earth. We're looking at a new human race that will now start to face peace, love, joy, and happiness for the entire human race. No longer sorrow, pain, and agony, but a positive new world can come about. But one thing for sure, we have to see it in order to believe it and achieve it. That's very important. See it, believe it, and now we will achieve it. And the last affirmation before I end this is this. I see it already done. God and Jesus, our victory has been won. I see it already done. And with God and Jesus, our victory has been won. I see it already done. And with God and Jesus, our victory has truly, truly, truly been won. Amen. 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 All right, my brother. Peace and blessings to everyone. And now you get a chance to hear some music.
Just want to say very quickly, Friday night, 3-4-7-8-5, 7-13-11, 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, the Black Business Billionaires Network Club. We're going to be taking names and numbers and people's information to start funding entrepreneurship opportunities. And if you want more information, you can call us at 518-866-7605. You can email us at R like Robert, E like Eddie, V like Victor, R like Ron, O like Only, N like Nancy, the number 11 at gmail.com. RevRon11@gmail.com. RevRon11@gmail.com. We want to come together and develop opportunities in our communities for financial potential businesses to be developed so we can give jobs to our people. So please contact us and stay in touch. God bless everyone.
Come on, everybody, put your hands together. It's got to get better. All over the world, listen to these words. People come.
People go.
Your life has been out of control.
You're confused.
But don't worry. It's got to get
better.
Yeah.
gotta get better.